Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 19th of January, Anno Domini 2013, and you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And today we're going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose. Kick off your shoes. We're also going to talk about cues, or at least QR codes. But we'll start with the news. FCC Chairman Julius Genachowski wants the U.S. to host at least one gigabit community in all 50 states by 2015. And he's calling upon ISPs as well as state governments to make that a reality. In a statement issued yesterday, Genachowski laid out a roadmap to establish a clearinghouse of best practices that would help eliminate the network as an obstacle and foster innovative applications in addition to digital hubs. Of course, cities like Seattle and Kansas City, along with the University of Washington, have already been privy to those ultra-high speeds, thanks to the likes of Google and private funding. With yesterday's statement, it's clear the commission's head honcho wants that to be more the rule than an exception. It's no secret Genachowski has long wanted to shore up the U.S.'s prominence as a connected country. He said as much since the beginning of his term. And with initiatives like this one, that could fast become a reality. He's clearly as tired as the rest of us that the U.S. is, in terms of data speeds, a third world nation. The problem is that the FCC doesn't have a lot of power over what ISPs do, but bringing the problem to light is a great start. I suspect the rest of it is up to us. So, our question of the week at soundbites.org, that's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is would you buy gigabit connectivity? And the choices are yes if it's under $75, yes if it's under $100, yes at any price, and no, not at any price. So far, we've got 43 people who have voted. Over half of you prefer if it's under $75. Of course, I suspect for some of you that means $4, but that's never going to happen. And I know you'll have more to say about this because there is a lot more to say about this. So check the yellow box underneath the poll. Click on Give Us Your Opinion. It will take you to my website, asknick.com.
That's asknick.com.
And you can enter your opinion. The question of today, of course, is what would you pay for gigabit connectivity? And that's that. And then, of course, that's our question to you. So you can give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415. Before we do that, however, the sharp-eyed among you may have noticed a change on the Soundbites homepage. There's a QR code there today. And that's an interesting and I hope kind of exciting thing that's going to be happening now from now on. What the deal is this. If you have a smartphone, you can scan that QR code. And or if you don't, if you just have a regular cell phone with a texting plan, you can text join Soundbites. That's join space Soundbites, all one word. To 740-473-6463. That's 740-I-REMIND. That's all on the website. And you'll get a reminder about 15 minutes before the show to tune in. I know that people tell me all the time, I can't believe I missed the show this week. When is the archive going to be up? And that's great, but a lot of people like to listen live because then they can call in or at least complain or join us on the IRC chat or as soon as I actually started up the Oh, am I out of battery? I bet I have no battery left in this thing. Nope, I have no battery. Okay, we're not going to be doing that today then. I forgot to plug it in. Oops. Yeah, exactly. Oops. But at any rate, you can scan that in and join us on the show. And I would be honored if you did that. The folks at MyMinders who put this out are testing this, and we're one of the guinea pigs. So the more people who actually sign up, the better the test. So we would very much appreciate it if you would do that. You can just go to the website, soundbites.org. Again, that's Bites with a Y. Francis would like us to remind you. And either scan the QR code or text JOIN SOUNDBITES to 740-473-6463. And you'll get a reminder. And we'd be very honored if you would do that. Just to help us test this. That would be very nice. So thank you. And then next week, I would love it if you would call in and let us know whether or not you got it and if you got it in a timely manner. One of the problems, of course, with any of these things is that text messaging rates will apply. Let us mention that right now. If you pay to receive a text message or to send one, that will apply. But text messaging is not the priority for most phone companies, although they make more money off of text messaging than everything else combined. Although you will almost always get it in a timely manner, you might not. And I would like to know that as part of this test. Also, who your carrier is. I don't need to know your phone number, but your carrier. One of the nice things about this MyMinders thing is I'll never know the phone numbers. Ever. They're in some locked away database somewhere. I never see them. I'll never see them. I'll never have access to them. It's very cool. It's very cool. So if you would do that for us, I would be both honored and delighted. In the meantime, we will go to the phones. And our first caller is Linda from Greece, New York. Hi, Linda. What's up?
Hi. Got a question for you. I got two questions. One, last week, I was listening to the podcast because I couldn't listen to the live show. You said something about YouTube. I went on YouTube, and I couldn't find you guys. I put in sound bites, and they go, it's almost like, what?
Yeah, the YouTube channel is actually my personal channel under Nick Francesco.
I put your name in, but nothing came up.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. It's there. I don't know what to tell you.
Spelled your name wrong. Yeah. Could be, yeah.
It's FRANCESCO.
Ah.
Not IS.
Let me
finish talking about that. It's
ahead.
Not going to be up this week because apparently I forgot to charge my Chromebook because I'm an idiot. And so I don't have any battery for it, and I left the charger home because I didn't need it because it's got 6 hours, 8 hours of battery life.
Oops.
Yeah, exactly. So the deal is that when the YouTube, when this thing is charged up, I will be running a Google Hangout, and as part of that Hangout, one of the things that you can do is to record that. It lets you can watch it live through YouTube while it's happening, but it also records it and puts it in your YouTube channel so other people can see it later. It's kind of silly to look at it later, honestly, because you don't hear any of the questions on the air because we're not piping that through the YouTube channel, but it's as an experiment, it was kind of fun and interesting, and I'll probably do it again next week when I actually have battery on my Chromebook.
If I can just interject here for a second, you folks that are calling, if you're calling in, please don't listen to the radio. If you're calling in to, you know, get on the station, please pay attention because I'm picking up the phone. Don't wait to hear it on the radio. I'm hearing that now with two different callers.
Yeah. Once you're on,
again.
Right. Once you're on the phone, you should be able to. Can they hear the show through the phone? Probably not. Yeah, they can.
Yes.
Then in that case, please turn your radio down because there's a delay for the radio. And if you're listening to the radio, not to the phone, we've actually assumed you hung up and we've moved on.
No. I've got
Thank you.
Radio off and I'm listening to you through the telephone.
Well, but you're a veteran here, Linda. We're talking to the people who aren't. All right. What's your other question?
Okay. I got a computer in October and I got it at Best Buy and I've got the best support from the Geek Squad. Okay,
right.
I went to Microsoft, and they had updates. There was an update for 64-bit. I downloaded the update they told me to. Now, when I go on my computer, I cannot get on. I cannot get on Google. I cannot get on Internet Explorer. I get an error. Okay, okay. My question to you is: I called the Geek Squad because I've got support, and the gentleman said, "Well, I can come out to your house, and maybe it'll be about 4 or 5 days." And he said, "But there's a window of 12 to 4. Well, I can't stay home." He says, "Or I can do it remotely." Now, my question to you is: would you trust the Geek Squad to do it remotely on your computer? I haven't done it yet because I wanted to talk to you guys first.
That's a lovely question. I would have to say 99.999% yes, I would trust them.
Okay.
Right.
You never know any one individual what kind of jerk he is, but... They do a good amount of screening, and they do a good amount of back watching and stuff like that. So, the likelihood of something bad being done to your computer by a member of the Geek Squad is infinitesimally small.
And the other safe factor is that she called them; they're not calling her.
Yeah.
So she knows the number that she is calling to verify that it is, in fact, the company that.
I called them.
Yeah, that's been a big scam. As you get a, in fact, that was in your paper column this week too. Yeah. You get a random call from someone claiming to be Microsoft and wanting to take control of your computer to fix problems for only X dollars.
Oh no, no, the paperwork I got.
Yep.
When I set up the support. They gave me the phone number and I called them.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
So,
although we,
I talked to a friend of mine and he said if you're worried, he says. Once you do that, he said, and I also talked to Sam in your office, Dave, and I asked her the same question. She said, yes, she says, but what you would do then is, she says, once you're done, if you don't trust it, she says, change your login password.
Yep. And typically for them to do remote access, you have to install a program on your computer.
Right.
Uninstall that program so they can't log back into your computer later on.
Okay, well, they can't log back in if I change my password.
They could log into the remote session because that has a different password.
Where would that remote thing be located on my computer?
Well, sometimes they just have you go to a web page.
It's a web page that installs a Java app.
Right.
Most of them log me in, go to my PC. Most of those are Java apps. So you can disable Java in your browser, which you typically should anyway, unless you know you need it.
Okay.
And
can I ask them to disable Java? Because I've been trying to figure out how to disable it, and with my new computer, I don't even know what the heck it is.
We posted a link last week to how to disable Java on all the different browsers. It's in the browser preferences.
It's not JavaScript. JavaScript and Java are two different things.
Yeah.
And I also read an article that says some people cannot disable Java. Because there was an article out and said some people cannot disable it.
Right, they need to use it. If you're using a program like NeoOffice or OpenOffice, then those use Java. The remote access programs like GoToMyPC and LogMeIn, they use Java as well.
I don't have that. Okay. Okay, so, but can I ask the Geek Squad to disable it for me?
If you trust them to disable it.
Yeah, well, you know.
Again, yes, sure. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So, and Dave, one more thing. I hate to keep bothering you about this, but I still can't get into the forum. I talked to Sam and she was going to give you the information.
Well, tell you what, I've been quite busy lately.
Okay, so brand
tell
new
you what,
email
well,
address.
Tell you what.
Okay.
What I'd like you to do is email me dave@jazz901.org.
I gave Sam all the information.
Linda?
Yeah.
Please email me at dave@jazz901.org, and I will check that, and I will go in there and set it up for you. Just give me your email address that you used, the username, and the password you'd like.
Okay, well, it's on a podcast, so I'll listen to this information tomorrow.
Okay.
Perfect.
Okay, thank you very much, gentlemen. Happy New Year's.
You too, thanks.
Bye.
We actually had a customer that had... called for tech support from one of the major PC manufacturers, and apparently, well, I hate to say bad things about foreign people, but they got someone in the Philippines or, you know, some of this remote tech support calls, and they had set up a remote session and fixed her problem, and then stayed logged in and watched what she was doing and got her Amazon credentials and started buying everything. It was like everything she bought on Amazon, they bought one too. So you wouldn't notice it, and you would think maybe it was just a duplicate email. So they were a little smart about how they did it. But, yeah, you make sure you disable that remote access stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's actually a new service. I've been using LogMeIn because they have a free for casual use. And they just started a new one, join.me. And
I've seen it. I haven't played with
I've
it yet.
I've played with it a little bit, and it's completely free for you know, casual use. And it runs a little Java app, so you don't have to have too much installed on the machine ahead of time, which is always the big thing with remote access, is you have to set it up on the machine you want to get into before right. you want to get into it. So it's kind of neat being able to do that. And both LogMeIn and GoToMyPC have iPad apps too, so you can do your remote access
yep.
On your tablet, you know, on the back porch.
Of course, if everybody just bought Chromebooks, there wouldn't be any problems. Then you guys would be out of jobs. So
that's true, yeah.
Probably isn't a good idea either.
No, I wouldn't be.
No, you wouldn't be. But yeah.
Dan and Sam might be.
Dan and Sam would be, yes.
We are seeing a lot of people buying tablets and Chromebooks now as like the second or third computer yep. instead of a full computer. You know, all I want is something in the living room. So that's nice, light, inexpensive.
Exactly right. For $250, you get a full keyboard and everything else. And for the, you know, if you're figuring I want to sit in front of my TV and surf IMDb while I'm watching a movie or, you know, some little light thing or whatever it happens to be, nothing easier.
Yep, and less chance of getting the viruses and everything else.
Yep, yeah, for that it's perfect. And a lot of people, you know, they complain, well, I can't edit video on the Chromebook. Really, how often do you edit video? Well, never, but what if I start? Well, that's why you've got your home machine. You can do it on that. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 20 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe, which you'll never have to miss again. Soundbites right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 23 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites, and I'm starting a hangout, I think. I think I'm starting a hangout. Looks like I am. So if you're in one of my circles, you can now join us on the hangout. I have to tip this up a little so you're not staring at solely my forehead. There we go. And we're back.
Your beard.
All right.
See, I have a face for radio, and that's where it stays.
Exactly. But we're back, and that's lovely. And now our next caller is Brooke from Henrietta, New York. Welcome, Brooke. What's up?
Three things. One was the Chromebook that you bought like a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
I tried to find a Chromebook for $250, and I couldn't. Was it online or something?
Yeah. Well, I actually bought mine at locally at Best Buy.
Okay.
But they're having a lot of trouble keeping them in stock. There are actually half a dozen versions.
Yeah, what I got too confused. I just left.
Right. The low-end version is $199. I honestly don't recommend that one.
Yeah.
The next one is $250, which I have fallen in love with.
Uh-huh.
Then there are versions of the $250 one that have Wi-Fi, and are rather cellular service and yada, 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 which nobody needs. And then there's a higher-end one for about $500, which nobody needs. The $250 one is really the one to go for.
And what's the number on it or something?
Well, it's the it's from Samsung.
Yep.
It's the Samsung Chromebook, the silver one, as they're calling it. It runs an ARM processor. The model number, if you really need to know that, is X as in Xavier,
uh-huh.
E as in Edward, 303, C as in Charles, 12.
Okay, I think I could find it after that.
Yeah, I guess they're just calling it the 303C.
Okay, 303C. Okay, then I was trying to get your website online, and I downloaded this icon, but I don't even know if I should. It says install Soundbite. And it's green and has a V with a smile under it.
No, that's not us. I don't know what that is.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's what I did.
Yeah,
want.
You really don't want that. We're just at soundbites.org, and it's bytes with a Y. You don't have to download anything to get to it.
Yep.
Someone's vacuuming here.
Very nice.
Come on over and do my house.
And then would you go over again after I hang up how to get Java off of your computer?
We actually put up a link.
Okay.
Because it's complex.
It's different for every browser that you use.
Right. So we've put up a link on our website. If you go to soundbites.org, that's, again, bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, you'll see some tabs near the...
No. Spell it then. S-O-U-N-D...
S-O-U-N-D-B-Y-T-E-S.
Okay.
.org.
.org.
And if you click on the links tab, which is the third tab over...
Okay.
Number six, I believe, is the stuff you heard on the show.
Yep.
And if you click on that, you'll see on the left they're listed by date. And last week's show, it's about the fourth one down.
Okay, great. Yeah, that's what I was trying to get to, and I got to this other soundbite, but I wouldn't. Okay, I can just delete that thing then.
Yeah, get rid of that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that.
I'm glad you called before actually doing anything with it.
I know. Thank you. All right. I'm all finished.
All right. Thanks, Brooke.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
One thing we should mention, and you mentioning it, is, and it's not too early to talk about it, actually, this coming Labor Day, we start our 25th year.
We do.
And you know what? It would be so cool if we got, like we did for the 20th, another get-together, and actually have Francis show up.
That would be great.
Do you know her last name?
I do not. I have never known her last name. It was just an email. It was an email I received, and I thought, isn't that cute? And like most of the emails, I deleted it, but it never left my head, and we've been using it ever since, but I don't even have her email address.
We've been talking about Francis for over 20 years.
I know it.
And I just happened to pop in my head, here we're coming up on, we start 25 years.
Yep.
It
would be great to see a lot of these people. Well, I'm seeing a couple of them now in the Google Hangout. So that's nice. But
yeah. Sit there and think about 25 years. Some marriages don't even last that long.
Ain't that the truth? But yeah, it would be great.
Yeah.
It would be great. So Francis, if you're out there, let us know who and where you are.
Yeah, really. That would be really cool.
That would be kind of fun. That would be kind of fun.
Just something, wandering around my head. Like,
and there's a lot of room in there.
Oh, there's a party going on. I just haven't been invited yet.
Exactly. Exactly. I understand how that works. But yeah.
I'm afraid if I do.
Yeah.
What if I find out?
Exactly right. All right. I got to read this news article because it makes me very happy.
Uh-oh.
In a recent study by research firm BCN with data from 2,400 Japanese consumer electronics stores, not people, stores, it found that Google's Nexus 7 took up 44.4% of market share compared to the iPad slightly less, 40.1% of market share. Sources cite one of the main reasons for the Nexus 7's high demand is its affordable price, $200 compared to $300 for an iPad mini running last generation hardware, or $500 for the full-sized iPad. Seems an easy choice for a lot of people. The information was published in Nikkei, the largest business daily in Japan, who also pointed out that 3.6 million tablets were sold in Japan in 2012, and that number is expected to grow to 4.9 million in 2013. You ain't kidding. If the trend continues where quality, cost-effective tablets outsell their premium counterparts, we can expect that lead to grow even larger. This news doesn't come as too much of a surprise to those of us who believe that quality, cost-effective products will beat out high-priced premium products any day. The big question is, how soon before Android tablets dominate the tablet sphere in general? So, our question to you, would you buy a Nexus or an iPad? And why? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, toll-free 1-800-790-0415.
I just love my, Nexus.
Yeah.
It's just so damn handy to have. And like you say, the battery life on it is phenomenal.
Yeah.
Because, I keep it upstairs, and every so often I remember to bring it downstairs to plug it in.
Well, yeah.
because I'll, you know, read for a little bit in bed, and then it just goes into sleep mode, and I just leave it there, and then the next day it's there, but every so often, maybe every 7-8 days, I bring it downstairs. Remember, yeah. Bring it downstairs, plug it in. It's just a fantastic little device, and I say it does everything that I want it to do.
You know, well, that normally is true of my Samsung, but I was using it all, my Chromebook, but I was using it all day at work yesterday. Oops. And apparently forgot to plug it in last night.
Oops.
Yeah, that's
even with amazing battery life, you still have to plug it
yeah,
in.
Yeah.
Every now and then.
They just don't do it in themselves.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. That's too bad. And now I seem to have lost my my network connectivity here for the Google Hangout. Yeah, that's gone. And it's asking me for my freaking... No, it's still running. What the heck?
Sporadic.
No, Google is telling me I can't do anything because I have to sign in.
You are signed in.
But I'm still signed in
mm-hmm.
on the thing.
That's a different
know.
Tab.
Yes, that's exactly right. I think that may have something to do with it. So you guys talk for a minute while I try to figure out what my application.
You know, we've been talking about all
is.
These tablets and everything else, but you know, I've had a number of folks. Matter of fact, my one friends, Judy and Terry, cleaning up older laptops, just simply doing a quick cleanup, just to do simple surfing. You know, because more and more folks, are, you know, like you say, are going to the tablets and that. But there's some folks that, you know, they still got some decent laptops. And all it takes is, you know, the time to clean them up, get them, you know, some of the junk off of them, strip the other stuff off, if they're not going to do it. So a lot of folks are pushing those aside, but, and the same with another friend of mine, wound up, again, she and her husband, you know, wanted something else that the kids could play with just to go on the internet. They had this other laptop, so I stripped most of the stuff off that they didn't really need, like, you know, Microsoft Office and all this other stuff, got it down to the bare minimum, it sped it on up, cleaned it on up, and now they're able to use it, you know, this other device that, because you see the rest of them all going around with their tablets and all this, but, yep. You know, yeah, the you know, sure, the PC is, you know, the laptop is a little bit more cumbersome than, say, your Samsung or that type of stuff, but it still does the job if you clean it up and get it up and running and do, you know, the tango on it once in a while, and it'll still serve.
Yep, and a lot of people don't want to put a lot of money into just something for the kids to surf the web on.
Yeah, and, you know, I've been able to do this now for a few folks, and, you know, it's something else that would have just sat in the corner. Because, you know, they got to have the latest and greatest toys on a couple of these cases. It's not needed. You know, it'll still do it. Maybe it's not as lightning fast, but, you know, heck, it's the internet. Even once you know, you can get the turbo speed, and I'm sorry, they can sit there and promise this and that, but it depends on how many folks are on your D-Slam.
That's right.
You know, all bets are off, and I've, again, a few folks there too, you know, well, I thought it was going to really improve. It depends on where you live. So, you know, all bets not going to happen. And they've all wound up going back because they didn't see any big improvement and stayed back to the regular service and worked the same.
Yep.
So, you know, and they're saving a few
bucks. Well, there's two things. And somebody actually pointed it out here as well in the opinions. There's how fast you get data.
Mm-hmm.
And that's important when it comes to watching videos and downloading stuff and whatever, whatever. And the other problem is how fast the other end sends data. And most of the websites that are popular are not terribly fast anyway. So they're not going to be overly quick to send you stuff. So you don't get a lot of... you don't get a lot of additional speed just by speeding up your end.
And especially with so many people doing video mm-hmm. And video chatting, typically your upload internet speed is significantly slower, usually a tenth the speed of your download. And so all these people are uploading video now, just making everything else slower too.
And that's where I say a lot of these older laptops, that, you know, for the internet, that's fine. It'll work and, you know, get over it. Of course, we've come so long, you know, and again, going back to talking about how 24 years, back when we were originally getting into this, you know, the old trash 80s and the original PCs with, you know, 128 mega memory, there was a lot, and putting in hard cards and the old coupler modems.
That's right.
You know, that's some, we should have some of those pictures, you know, if we do up some type of gig for the 25th to take folks back in time over the, you know, the 25 years that we've been doing and the changes. Because now it's all about instant gratification. It How fast can I do it? If I have to wait more than 15 seconds, that's totally unacceptable. But back in the day, when it was just, you know, monochrome screens, and you're getting connected, and you hear all the bing and
you were used to it.
And getting connected, and you have to wait a couple minutes. You could walk away, come back, and then something might pop up on the screen. It's really a lot different.
And what happens is, well, people will get tired, you know, impatient after 2 or 3 seconds and click the start button again, which starts the process over again. So that never gets to finish because you keep starting it over.
Right. Yeah, I think this Hangout is chugging this machine down to nothing. All right, our next caller is Vic from Irondequoit. Welcome, Vic. What's up?
Well, I'm confused.
Yeah, me too.
Java is bad, but yet you can't use OpenOffice without Java.
It's not that Java is bad. It's that the bad guys are using Java for bad things. And this is what we've said a few times over the years, is that every time some good technology comes out, the bad guys will figure out a way to corrupt it.
They exploit it.
So if you really need to use Java, you have to make sure you keep it updated, which is usually once a week these days. And if you do hear about a Java exploit, then stop using Java for a while until that gets patched. One of the things that can help mitigate some of the issues is turn Java off in your browser, so you're not using Java on websites, but leave Java turned on your computer so you can use OpenOffice.
Okay, now Java updated, I think it's version 7, update 11. Now, is that one supposed to be pretty good?
Yeah, that fixed the patch that was discovered last week, or a week before, whenever that last one was.
Okay, now, Steve, how would I turn it off? I mean, I use Firefox. How would I turn it off?
In Preferences under, well, Tools. Is it Tools or Preferences? It's well, in the, like, it's in the add-ons said, page, yeah.
We've got a link on the website that tells you for whatever browser you've got, for whatever operating system, well, it's really only just Windows, but and Mac has turned it off for you. So check that out, because just to make sure you've got the right thing going on there.
Okay. I mean, I uninstalled it this morning completely, but I'll reinstall the new version and see what happens.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's basically what's happening with Flash. The bad guys that come out with Flash exploits all the time that then have to get patched. And now Java seems to be the big thing that people are jumping on, the bad guys are jumping on too. Because they know so many computers have it installed that it's easy to get into when they need it.
And your antivirus and all those, you know, super anti-spyware and so forth, none of that stuff is effective against those people?
Not always, because it isn't a virus. It's you're going to a website that is running a program, and what happens is the bad guys come out with something new, and it takes a few days or more for the good guys to update their programs to know that the bad things are out there. So it's always a cat and mouse game between the good guys and the bad guys.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, thanks. We're going to take a quick break. However, we will be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 40 minutes after the hour, and none of you are signing up for the free reminders. You should do that now. And we'll be back with a whole lot more of the longest-running computer show in the known universe, Soundbites, right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Time for us to take over again. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 45 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites, and we have Mark from Rochester on the line. Welcome, Mark. What's your question?
Yes, thank you. I have a Dell desktop computer running Windows 7, and I have Norton 360 running on it, and it keeps telling me to restart my computer. I restart my computer, And after a few minutes, the same window pops up that I have to restart my computer. And I don't know what's going on.
Does it say why you have to restart it?
It says it has something that it needs to reboot the computer to eliminate. And that's it. That's the only message I get. And that's it.
It may not be able to eliminate it, and so it keeps trying.
Apparently, there's something in there that it detects, and it doesn't give me a message of what it is, but it keep getting the same request.
Yeah, it may be a rootkit. One of the things that we often tell people is that the big three, Symantec, which is Norton, Trend Micro, and McAfee, are the big three, and that many viruses are not released into the wild until they can defeat the big three. So it is possible that you have a virus that Norton 360 simply cannot get rid of.
Okay.
You have a couple of choices here. You could try a different antivirus program. There are a bunch of free ones out there. AVG is one. Avast is another. Panda has one as well. For most of them, it's a little hidden as to where you find the free version, but they're out there.
Yeah.
And the other choice is to bring it to a reputable dealer and have them essentially pull your hard drive, stick it on another computer, and fix it from their machine, because the rootkit can't protect itself unless you boot that drive. And if you put it in as the second drive on a machine, it doesn't boot, and the rootkit won't be able to take over. Now, there is a problem with that, which is that sometimes that rootkit has gotten so deeply into the system that cleaning it out kills the boot process on that machine. That's also easily fixable by putting back the boot sectors, which any reputable dealer will know how to do.
Okay, so maybe try some of the other antiviruses first, and if I keep getting it, if I get tired of clicking the window and saying, do it later, I have a choice of doing it 24 hours later, so I get to throw it away for 24
but
hours.
But if you are actually infected by something, that's bad.
Yeah,
that something will keep running.
True.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, that's one of the problems that we're having now. The Security Tango at securitytango.com. Really does a decent job. The problem is that rootkits are so heavily entrenched that many of them are not removable easily by something like Security Tango. You really have to pull the drive and do it on a separate machine. I hate to say that, but it's true. All right, I'm going to read another news item. When you're sick.
Bless you.
Well done.
Thank you.
Or have a health concern. Is the internet the first place you turn to for information? A new study shows the web is just a starting place for finding health information. Most people, thankfully, still see a doctor for serious concerns. In a Pew study, released this week, 35% of U.S. adults said they've used the internet to diagnose themselves or someone else, and about half of those people followed up with a doctor's visit. Online health information is available day or night at no cost, and the internet has become the de facto second opinion for many people, said Susanna Fox, who's an associate director for the Pew Study Project and a lead author of the report. But for serious health issues, most people still see a doctor or interact with others in person. 70% of U.S. adults found information, care, or support from a doctor or other healthcare professional. 60% turned to family or friends for information, and 24% found help from others with the same health condition. Most of these interactions occurred offline. Consumers consult the web for health information, but one place they don't check too often are review websites. There's been little growth in the use of healthcare-related review sites. The study noted 1 in 5 internet users have consulted online reviews and rankings of healthcare service providers and treatments, compared with, for example, the 8 in 10 internet users who say they have researched a general consumer product or service online, and only 3 to 4% of internet users have posted a healthcare-related review. These data were taken from a nationwide survey of 3,014 adults living in the United States. Interviews were done in English and Spanish. So our question to you, where do you go on the web to find information about health? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 1-800-790-0415. And as I said online last week, never, ever, ever, ever look up side effects on the web, particularly on Wikipedia, where they have pictures. Holy moly.
Things you can't unsee.
But that's weird that you bring up that story. Because just this morning, as a matter of fact, I just ordered it this morning. My friend Kay was helping me look up stuff because I've been getting bad leg cramps. Mm-hmm. Serious. I mean, to where I got to jump out of bed and go into the bathroom.
Restless leg syndrome.
It's, the cold, the tile in my bathroom is nice and cold.
You need more
magnesium.
Potassium.
Potassium, yes. Found these pills.
You know, I have those pills. We call them bananas. Eat a banana. Bananas have potassium. Eat a banana.
I know.
I think I'll go buy the pills instead of just buying bananas.
I got to take the rest of the pills, so I just add it to the other
pill. For pity's sake, I'm a stick.
You're one of those old men that takes a handful of pills every morning, aren't you?
Shut the hell up.
No, shut up right now. All right. No, believe it or not. No, I can honestly say this. Was just in my doctor's this past week, and I was able to eliminate one.
Nice.
And my other stuff that I've been taking has been able to reduce.
Very nice.
So, you know, I mean, changing my diet and everything else and losing the weight and all that stuff. It's helped, and my blood pressure is down and doing good. So I'll stick with that.
I went to the doctors. They actually did the test twice because my cholesterol was too low. It can't be that.
You've said that for years. That and your blood pressure.
Yep, my blood pressure is good. It's a little tiny bit high. And my cholesterol, my liver, all of that stuff are excellent. I've always had good liver. A good cholesterol.
Well, a lot of folks can't believe, and I've told this to a few of my friends, and I pointed out because I've shown them some of the pictures that are on my webpage at Facebook, back when we were doing the 20th anniversary show.
Mm-hmm.
That's back when I was up to, 250-some-odd pounds. Mm-hmm. They go, no, you never weighed that.
I weighed that when I was 8, by the way.
And I show them that picture.
Yeah.
And they go, you were a little stocky, weren't you?
Back in the day when I went for my physical for the draft for the Army, they took my blood pressure, because I've always been this heavy, right? I've always been heavy. So they took my blood pressure, they looked at it, they had me run up a flight of stairs, took it again, had me run up a flight of stairs, took it again, had me run up a flight of stairs a third time. I said, this is your last shot. This is it. After this, we're done. This is my blood pressure. Yeah. I said, what are you on? I said, nothing. I don't take anything. Yeah. If I were on something, it would be to raise my blood pressure. Yeah. Nobody lowers their blood pressure to take their physical for the Army.
No.
Nobody.
No, no. But that's
I've heard about people that it's different pressure in different appendages.
Yes.
They tried both arms multiple times.
I've seen that on doctor shows. Oh, his pressure is too low in this arm. No, in this arm it's too high. Now what do we do? Call house.
It's clearly a Time Lord. He's got two hearts.
Yeah.
Well, it was about
in each heart.
Yeah, it had to be about 12 years ago. I was going to have a mole removed on my back, and the woman's going to take my blood pressure. And then she gets this worried look on her, goes to take it in my other arm. Then she says, mind laying down? It winds up taking it around my calves. And she has me sit back up. And she goes, are you real nervous about this procedure? I go, why? I've had it done before. No. Then we suggest that you go to your doctors because you've got high blood pressure. And I go, that's the only way I found out.
Yep.
And like I say, I've been able to, through changing a lifestyle, though, get off of the, down to just about nothing on that. Blood pressure right now, I go, I think it's like 106 over 72,
that's
70.
Good.
You know, it varies around there. So doctors says, I'm doing good. And that's the other thing. You go to your doctors, you're feeling really good. And they go, you could lose a little more weight.
Yeah.
It's like, gee, thanks, Doc. I thought I was doing pretty darn good myself. And
it's their job to take you down a peg. It's what
I guess.
Do.
He does a good job of it.
That's what they do. But yeah, don't look up. Because I had an abscess tooth,
mm-hmm.
and they gave me a choice of a couple of different medicines, and I picked one I'd had before. But I wrote down the others, and I went and looked up some of the side effects
mm-hmm.
on the others. Oh, no, thank you. No, thank you. Well, and I was in, and that made me pay more attention to the television ads.
Oh yes,
for every quack medicine that's possible.
How, wait a minute. How do they get past if you can sit there and hear they say on TV? If this causes suicidal tendencies, we recommend that you stop taking it. Well, duh.
There's two things I never want to hear as a side effect. Suicidal Ooh. Tendencies and anal bleeding. If those are side effects, I'm not taking the pill. I don't actually care what it does. I don't care what it does. I'm not taking it.
Or if it causes mood swings.
Right, right.
Serious depression. I
mean, yes. Yes, yeah, no.
Because that was one guy during the study reported being depressed, so we got to put it on the list just in case.
Yeah, but if they actually have to report suicidal yep. tendencies, I'm not there.
Most antidepressants, one of the side effects is because people who are depressed are often suicidal, so during the antidepressant test, they ask you, did you feel suicidal? And the answer is yes. Okay, that must be a side effect. We better put it on the list or we'll get sued.
I honestly do not care.
It's scary, though, listening to the prescriptions and all that. It's like, you know what? Do I want to die from this or do I want to die from that? It's pick your poison.
There was actually, if you like South Park, a very funny South Park episode where they talked about anal bleeding. At Chipotle's. Every time I eat Chipotle's, I have to change my underwear. And through the whole episode, they're trying to figure out ways to have better underwear. And poor little Stan, the voice of reason, is saying, well, why don't you just stop eating at Chipotle's?
Duh.
I'm sure that's just a South Park episode and that we look forward to.
We love Chipotle's food.
But like you say, so many folks can go on the internet, though, and self-diagnose themselves.
And that's the worst thing.
Yes. You know, well, yeah, I had that. And, they're not putting the whole picture together. You know, and they got it. Seriously, you know, I mean, you folks, the internet is a wonderful thing and you can learn a lot. But don't self-diagnose yourself. Go to a professional.
Right. Right. Absolutely right. Most of those places, look, I get it. Everybody on earth wants to think they're self-sufficient and an expert in everything and blah, 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 blah. But there are people who pay hundreds of thousands of dollars to get an education to actually be professionals. And I have always said I expect people to pay me to do professional work. I expect to pay professionals to do professional work back. And so when you feel like being diagnosed with something, go to a doctor. That's why they're there. The internet has some very smart people and has the equivalent of 15th century bloodletting leech doctors. So be very careful what you read on the internet. It's probably not really the place you want to go to get that kind of information. All right, there's our public service announcement for this hour. We're going to take a longer break now. So that I can catch a quick nap. And we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray. Richard is taking a quick nap. I see that on the hangout there. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, everybody in the IRC chat, everybody on the Ustream channel, everybody watching us on YouTube and in the Google Hangout and blah, 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 blah. And we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with a whole lot more of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. We are Soundbites, and because of your generosity, we are here every week on the truly great,
member-supported
Jazz 90.1. See you in a few.
Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 3 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites, and we are, of course, live. I sound like one of our other local stations that has 57 affiliates. Takes them half an hour to
read
stuff off.
Huey, Dewey, Cheatham, and Howe.
And I don't know. It's a whole different thing. But we're here live on jazz901.org in Western New York. We're on the internet streaming live at jazz901.org. We're on Ustream. We're on YouTube. We're on IRC chat, we're in a Google Hangout, we're doing a little bit of everything.
You got to plug that reminder program again.
Oh yes, I'll be happy to do that as we approach our second hour. Those of you who missed the first hour, and I apparently can't tab anymore. Yeah, there we go. All right. Those of you who missed the first hour may have noticed on our homepage, soundbites.org, that's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, has a new feature on it. There is a QR code on there. And if you were to scan that QR code with your smartphone, you could sign, or you can, well, if you scan it with the QR code or sign up with the instructions that are underneath the QR code, you end up signing up for a reminder, a weekly reminder of this show. For those of you who tend to miss us and then complain about it to us when you see us, oh, I forgot to listen this week. It's real easy. You can click on that, or you can text join soundbites, and that's all one word, SOUNDBYTES, to 740-473-6463. That's 740 I remind, and you'll get a reminder about 15 minutes before every show, so you need never miss another show again. You can also text help to that number and see all the other things that you can do. Standard text messaging rates do apply, of course. I put in here that you get a reminder about 15 minutes before every show because it is text messaging, and we all know that text messaging is the lowest priority, yeah. Women and children first, on most carriers. So every once in a while, you've experienced it yourself. You send a text and it doesn't show up for a while. So we can't promise that, but they're 99.99% of the time. I've been doing this for a couple of months now, and it's been working just fine. So definitely give it a try. I would love to
Some feedback.
I would love to get some feedback on this, how it worked for you, whether it worked for you, what carrier you're on. So if you could sign up by either scanning the QR code or texting join soundbites to 740-473-6463, I personally would be very appreciative. This is courtesy of our friends at MyMinders, and we're very honored that they're letting us do this. Should be kind of fun. I would be very appreciative if you folks would actually join that. It would be good for us to be able to get the to feedback to see how well this is actually working, whether it's something we want to do on a continuing basis or not. But we can't do that unless you sign up, and no one has yet. So please do.
So when you're out with your friends, grab their phone and sign them up.
Sign everybody up. Everybody you know, sign them up. Carry your... Print out the page, clip out the QR code, carry it in your pocket, and scan everybody's cell phone with it. That's what we want to see. We'd love to see how many people will join and how well that then works for us. Of course, you can also just give us a call. The number is 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, toll-free 1-800-790-0415. And I will read another news item. Netflix isn't all about movies, as you know. The company has been adding more television to its on-demand service, and on Monday, they announced a multi-year licensing agreement with both Turner Broadcasting and Warner Brothers Television Group. The agreement includes episodes of shows from Cartoon Network, Warner Brothers Animation, Adult Swim, and the show Dallas from TNT. The deal, which will only make content available to U.S. Netflix subscribers, sorry our friends overseas and in Canada, and in Mexico, goes into effect on March 30th. It's important to note that Jeff Bukes, CEO of Time Warner, has not been a fan of Netflix in the past. According to Ted Sarandos, a chief content officer of Netflix, that's got to be a fun job. Yeah. Chief content officer of Netflix.
He gets to go out and find new shows.
Yeah.
I bet he went to NAB.
I bet he did. Ted, while you're listening, we'd like to have more 60s kung fu movies available for instant watch. Thanks. We are delighted. He said, we are delighted that Netflix will become the exclusive over-the-top streaming subscription destination for past seasons of favorite Cartoon Network and Adult Swim titles. We're also thrilled to be able to offer the latest seasons of Dallas, one of the greatest all-time guilty pleasures. A full list of the shows from Cartoon Network, you'll get Adventure Time, which will make my daughter happy, and me.
What time is it?
It's exactly. Ben 10.
My son watches that.
The Regular Show, and Johnny Bravo.
We used to watch Johnny Bravo.
Pendleton Ward, by the way, the guy who does Adventure Time, is on Google Plus.
Yeah.
And a very nice guy. Very nice guy. Robot Chicken from Adult Swim. You'll get Robot Chicken, Aqua Teen Hunger Force, The Boondocks, and Children's Hospital. Warner Brothers is actually going to put up the Green Lantern movie. It will show up in the Just for Kids section of Netflix, so I'll have to start checking that now.
Well, the big question is, which Green Lantern movie? The most recent theatrical movie that bombed?
Yeah, well, yes, it's from Warner Brothers, yeah. And so yeah.
It's like every year or so, there's another Green Lantern animated movie, made-for-TV movie that comes out, too.
Yeah, but I believe this is the horrible Ryan Reynolds abomination. As with any licensing, and it won't happen until March, but as with any licensing deal like this, it's probably a way to see how companies involved can work together in a fluid way, which means more titles could come in the near future. There are plenty of people who've ditched television cable to consume content through Netflix, Hulu Plus, and other internet-based services. These types of deals make that cord-cutting decision much easier. So our question to you, have you cut the cord? How close are you? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415, just like our friend Scott did, all the way from Buffalo, New York. Scott, how are you?
I'm fine. And I'm sitting here looking at a link for Chewbacca soundbite on YouTube. And it's clearly the wrong soundbite for the YouTube channel.
Clearly it is. On the YouTube channel, it's actually under my name, Nick Francesco.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, I'm signed up actually as me as opposed to as soundbites, and so it's under my YouTube channel.
Okay, that makes it simpler. Is that somewhere on your links page?
Shopping mall. There's apparently a DJ. A big DJ on YouTube called Nick Francesco, too. So
yes,
don't go
is.
To that.
Yeah, don't go to DJ. You can go to there if you want to. It just won't be us.
Okay.
DJ Nick Francesco, and he spells it the same way. Who is this guy? Get off of the YouTubes. Or get yourself a more fly name than Nick Francesco.
Want to tell somebody to find it. Is it in your links?
It's about to be. Steve's putting it in there as soon as he finds
great.
It.
Oh, great. Well, thank you.
Thank you. And apropos of nothing, I'm just going to remember to remind everybody that tomorrow night at 9 p.m. Oh, I'm taking my daughter to the... I'll make it tomorrow night. Tomorrow night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 6 p.m. Linden Time, we'll be in Second Life.
I can't put it up because it's YouTube and we're blocked.
Oh, we're blocked from YouTube. We'll put it up. Steve will put it up after the show when he gets home. Yep. But it'll be there. And that's going to happen. So we're delighted to be able to bring yet one more way to see the show. The real problem with YouTube is you can't. I don't know why I'm bothering to record it, because you can't really watch it afterwards, because we're not in any way linking in the audio.
Right.
So you see us stare blankly at the screen for a while and then talk.
But the Ustream audio is. audio and video is being recorded and saved at Ustream for watching later as well, audio and video.
Right. Oh, and more people have come in. Jack has come in. Jerry has come in. Very nice. Very exciting. I haven't been getting back here too often. No wonder I'm pegging both of the processors in this poor little thing. I'm going to have to grab a real computer to do this with, I think, or just charge up the Samsung. That would be a choice.
Or bring the charging cable in your pack.
That would be a different choice, of course, and I haven't made that choice yet. I'm going to have to buy a second charger for that just to keep in a case somewhere, but...
Yeah, we see a lot of people doing that. They'll get a second charger, have one at home and one at work, and then sometimes a third charger to keep in their bag because they lost the other charger. Left it behind at a hotel somewhere.
Yep. The problem is this is not a standard. It doesn't... that teeny little plug.
Virtually every laptop uses a different charging cable, even from the same company.
It's stupid.
At least Apple has sort of standardized on the same connector across all their laptops.
Right.
So some of them are different wattages, though, but at least it's the same connector.
Well, and if you get... And in general, they still work.
Yeah.
They may, particularly if it's a lower wattage, it takes longer to charge.
To charge on the bigger computer,
but it will work.
Yep.
And that's kind of nice. One of the problems that we've had over time at work is... a complete lack of any kind of standardization for power cords. And what are you going to do? We have faculty who leave power cords everywhere. And they say, can I borrow one? No.
Because then you'll lose mine, too.
Well, we don't have extras.
Yeah.
You know, sure, you could take mine, but then what am I going to use?
While we're here in the meeting, I might let you plug into it because I've got 71%.
Yeah, right. Exactly right.
But if I get down to 20%, I'm getting my cord back.
Yep.
Folks, seriously, you've got to stop listening to the radio. If you're calling into the studio, please pay attention to the phone.
Not to the radio.
Yes. There's a delay. We have a 10-second delay, so you're not going to hear... You know, me saying hello to you. I turn my mic off.
Right. If people call in and are listening to the radio, they're not going to hear Dave. Dave always gets them ahead of time and talks to them. In fact, he's on the phone right now and somebody's not talking back. So forget it. Or maybe it's just somebody having trouble with their phone. That's certainly also possible.
Could be.
And Richard's playing with Google Effects again. That's very nice. He's got the glasses and beard.
Those Google glasses?
Yeah, they are a form of Google glasses. Yes, they are, actually. But they're not actually. Well, this is pretty good. We've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, half a dozen of us in this hangout this time, which is kind of fun, actually. And I'm just waiting. And see, both cameras are right here, so everybody can see everything all the time. But I'm going to have to recharge the Samsung and try it on that because things are bogging down just a little bit on this poor netbook. It's a lovely toy, but
yeah. And somebody,
you sure you didn't turn the sound down somehow on your phone?
Maybe it's our phone.
I hear somebody in the background.
Oh, okay.
Oh, you can hear us.
Maybe you may have been butt dialed.
7, 8, 9, waiting for the delay. And to Bonnie, no, you cannot hear the callers on the Google Hangout because we're not piping the audio into the Hangout.
Right, so you have to actually be listening to the radio while you watch the Hangout. It's kind of way that's going to work. beg your pardon. But it's that's why I said it's less than 100% useful. I'll have to figure out a way to do that. And people can chat to us. There's a
chat on the Ustream too, but I've never turned it on because you usually have the IRC chat running.
Right.
We've got the IRC chat, the Ustream chat, and now the Google Hangout chat.
Oh, and these people are all talking to each other. I don't need to watch that. It's too many things. I can't watch everything at once.
And do a show.
I can't do a show. I can't. We have too much technology going on at once here. We're listening to the phones. Dave keeps leaving the room. I think he's disgusted with us in some way.
Check
they're doing the radio show. We're going out over the live stream, which we don't have to do anything with. We're on Ustream, which Steve is running. We're on the Google Hangout, which I'm running. Steve is recording the show. We're also doing all the looking up and putting in the questions and doing all the other stuff that we normally do. Plus, I don't really have time to look at the IRC chat or read the stuff on the Google Hangout chat. So it's too much technology. But it's kind of fun.
I just saw that out in NCIS LA this week. Nell, the one of the computer geeks, her New Year's resolution, she's saying she's going to spend the weekends unplugged. Because all day long, they're surrounded by supercomputers and whiz-bang and GPSs, and I'm going to spend the weekend unplugged and maybe read a paper book. Yeah, those two. They're building a relationship there.
Yeah, and he goes, well, she gave me a kiss at Christmas time.
In the elf suit?
Yeah.
Back in the day, before the arthritis hit, and I could play the banjo, my daughter and I would always spend an afternoon sitting on the porch or in the living room and playing music unplugged. She was playing the guitar in those days, and I was playing the banjo, and it was very fun. All right. Well, looks like we're going to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you doing all those weird things on the various back with more of sound bites on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 23 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites. And don't forget, we're testing a new service today, the MyMinders reminder service for our show. All you have to do is go to our homepage and either scan the QR code or text join soundbites to 740-473-6463. It's listed on the page. That's 740-I-REMIND. You'll get a reminder about 15 minutes before every show, so you need never miss us again. I say about 15 minutes because, let's face it, it's text, and that's often not a priority for anybody. And, of course, standard messaging rates apply.
One other thing you might want to do is pass that information in the thing onto Laura Land, and she can get it on the Jazz page, too. Do it as a feature story right now, and all our Jazz listeners.
And have each of the DJs do the same thing for the show.
Yeah, matter of fact, we should see if Rob will let us do up a little promo.
We'll see.
You know, cut a little spot encouraging folks to, during the week, you know, to put that reminder on there. Because, like you say, I get it all the time. Matter of fact, I just had two folks this week say, yeah, but back when you were on, we still are. You know, and I know we've talked about this countless times.
Yep.
We're still there.
So far, nobody has signed up. Nobody. I'm very depressed. I was honestly hoping for a huge number of people signing up. But apparently not, and that's okay, I guess.
I had one guy that I work with come up and introduce himself because they're only in the store once in a while. He goes, you know, I really enjoyed you guys when you're over at the other place. I says, we're still growing very strong.
Yeah.
Well, I work Saturdays, and we got the podcast. Really? You're still doing it? Yeah. So I gave him one of our cards and told him, you know, go there and sign it up, and, you know, you can get the podcast in it, because he loves, while he's working, putting it in and listening to it and he can do that.
We need to get new cards with the QR code on the back.
Oh, there you go. Got to talk to the boss on that one.
Yeah.
And the time the show is on would be nice, too.
That would be nice, wouldn't it?
Boy, we want just everything. Of course, Rob's probably not listening to us right now, so it's going on deaf ears, but yeah, we'll talk to Laura Land.
He's on vacation this week, isn't he?
We'll talk to Laura Land.
Is it January already?
Yeah.
Every month he goes on vacation, I think. He's not here to hear me say that. So I can say anything I want. All right, I'm reading another thing here. Apple may be able to build a cut-rate iPhone for $144, which would let it price the device between $299 and $349, hundreds less than the unsubsidized price tag of its flagship smartphone. A lower-cost iPhone, this is a rumor, by the way. This is completely a rumor. A lower-cost iPhone would be a major strategic shift by Apple, which is rigorous. And by the way, Tim Cook.
I'm looking up now who it was.
Yeah, one of their head guys.
Phil Schiller.
Never going to happen. You will never see this happen. But a lot of people are talking about.
But that's something that when Jobs was around, that often meant yes, it will happen.
Yeah, exactly. So we don't know. But basically, what they're talking about is the possibility of a lower cost iPhone. With, say, a plastic back and old or previous generation, I guess is the way to put it, parts in it. The analysts made numerous assumptions about the hypothetical handset, which they tentatively dubbed the iPhone Mini, in a sop to a frequently used Apple naming convention, which would be, say, a 3.5-inch display, 8 gigs of storage space, the same camera and processor that are used on the iPad Mini, a plastic case rather than a metal case, and the omission of support for LTE or 4G data networks. Many of these assumptions were based on the idea that Apple would reuse parts it had worked with in the past, such as the 3.5-inch Retina screen, which was last used in the iPhone 4S, and the A5 system on a chip found in the iPad Mini. Using the rough cost estimate, they then ballparked suggested list prices by determining various profit margins. They assumed that Apple would not surrender its historically high margins for such a phone, just as it did not when it created and priced the 7.9-inch iPad mini tablet. Analysts have argued with it that Apple needs a lower-priced iPhone to compete with the hard-charging Samsung and to keep its growth in line with Wall Street's expectations by broadening the potential pool of buyers. Samsung is hard-charging. Every week they come out with a new and exciting product for a lower cost, and it's very nifty, actually. So our question to you, would you buy a less well-built iPhone for less money? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free, 1-800-790-0415.
The crazy thing in U.S. phone system industry is that you pay... You basically don't pay full price for your phone. When you sign up for a contract with your carrier, you get a huge subsidy on the phone. So you can get an iPhone for free with a 2-year contract.
Right.
If you want to buy an unlocked iPhone, it's $650. Well, the same thing happens with every other company. I just found the Samsung Galaxy Note 2. That's the latest super whiz bang Samsung phone. Unlocked is $1,000 retail, and it's $700 at Amazon. If you buy an unlocked phone without a contract, so you're still going to pay $500-$700 for a smartphone without a contract.
Right.
Well, but that's the point here.
Yeah.
If they can build a lower priced phone, I mean, people clearly will pay $250 for a phone.
Yep.
Because that's what they pay when they're subsidized.
Yeah.
So would you buy a phone for $250 if it was not subsidized? The question is, it's going to be a lower spec phone.
Right. Last
it's going
year's
to be cheaper,
phone, maybe.
Whatever. Cheaper components. Cheaper quality case.
Yeah. There was also a story last week that Walmart is now selling the iPhone 5 on Straight Talk Wireless. So it's an unlocked phone, so it's $700 for the phone. But Straight Talk is offering a $45 a month unlimited phone, unlimited data plan.
Right.
Which is like half the price of most of the carriers. But when you read the fine print on that, unlimited means 2 gigabytes.
Yeah,
which is less than the other carriers' plans are.
Yeah, nobody's. Very few are really unlimited.
It doesn't. Yeah, it's unlimited data, but at 2 gigabytes, they cut your speed way, way, way down.
Yeah.
So it's what we used to talk about in the past. Do you want to get throttled or you want to get gouged?
Yeah, exactly. It's
either overage charges or they cut your feed and speed down.
We are a third world country when it comes to data. It's terrible.
It's because we were first. Our infrastructure is the oldest.
It's still terrible.
But and you always hear about AT&T and Verizon. They've put billions of dollars into their infrastructure.
T-Mobile.
The now T-Mobile, yeah. So they're claiming they have to keep gouging us because that's the they have to recoup those billions of dollars they just put in.
Well, I like I said last week, let's say you go to South Korea. South Korea, for Pete's sake, if you want, let's say a bundled package. All right, you're going to get your internet, your phone, and your television. It's $30 a month, and it's high speed, and they guarantee they'll have it done in 24 hours because there's competition.
Oh, that's the prime thing. I mean, when you only got, you know, effectively, you know, very few carriers.
Yep.
Yep.
Most of Europe is you buy your phone outright for the $600-$700 for a smartphone. And then there's no contract, but you can't switch carriers for, I think it's 30 days. There's a European law that you can't switch your carrier that soon. But there's no contracts. You can switch your carriers anytime after that you want. So if you can find a better deal, you'll switch to it. But since people pay that much for their phones, you don't find them replacing it so often. Right. Here in the U.S., because you're on a two-year contract, you generally buy a new phone every 2 years because it's free with your contract or cheap with your contract.
Well, and it's not anymore on Verizon. They're done with that.
Oh, they're not doing that?
No.
Discounted phones anymore?
Nope. You'd have to change your plan to do that.
Because they don't want you on the cheap plan you had 2 years ago.
Exactly right. All right, on back to the phones. It's Marcia from Rochester. Marcia, is it CIA or SHA?
It's CIA.
Very good.
You got it. Nobody gets that.
No, I my sister-in-law is a CIA.
Oh, beautiful.
And she gets violent.
My brother-in-law is FBI.
Oh, ATA.
Okay, this is a comedy show, too.
Yes, it is. What can we do for you, Marcia?
Well, I wanted your guys' opinion on, I have to replace my laptop, and I'm kind of a dinosaur in the world of computers. I've been on a Sony Vaio. It was refurbished when I bought it, and I've had it for 8 years refurbished. It has Windows XP, which I like. I heard horror stories about Vista. I know they're not going to support Windows XP anymore. And when I went to look online and start to price laptops, it was a little overwhelming, and they were a lot more expensive than I realized. So I just wondered what kind of suggestions you had. My usage is for email. I do a lot of research. I write. So I want a really easy Word. I'm still on Word 2003. So just to give you an idea where I'm coming from. So basic, but, you know, I have to come up to speed with what they're putting out there today, but I don't want to spend $1,000 and I don't know if I should go for a refurbished again or go to a retailer or go to someone like MicroWorks. I just thought I'd get your input and see what you guys think.
We believe very much in buying locally. That's first.
There's a lot to be said about hands-on, touching, feeling, just seeing what it, because you are going to be with it for several years.
Right.
And are you looking for a desktop or a laptop?
A laptop.
Okay. And you're buying a laptop because you're taking it where?
I like the small space. Where I have a small space. I don't have an office.
Okay.
So mainly just for that convenience.
Okay. There are certainly I would start with the local vendors. And you're going to end up with, at the very least, Windows 7, not 8.
How is Windows 7?
Windows 7 is fine.
Okay.
8.
8 is not great, but 7 is fine.
8 is so different, which is the biggest
complaint.
Nothing
wrong with it. It's just very different.
Okay.
The other thing you might think about, depending on your writing needs, my assumption is your research is on the internet?
Yes.
Okay. You might take a look at least at Chromebooks. They are, for example, the one I own, which is a Samsung Chromebook, $250. It's an 11-inch, 11.5, whatever the number is, screen, full keyboard, but it doesn't run a traditional operating system. It runs the Chrome OS, which means when you boot it, you're essentially just in the Chrome browser. So you can get your email through, for example, Gmail, or if you're on Yahoo or whatever, you can get it through their web interface. You can certainly do all your research via the web, And for things like writing, if you're going to be online, you can use something like Google Docs to do your writing. Now, that's something that with the machine you have now, you can test out as to whether or not you think that's useful to you. I use it for all of my writing, but I'm one of the 80 percenters. You know, 80% of the people use 20% of Word.
Right, okay.
So I'm one of those 80 percenters, so I've never had a problem using Google Docs to write something. You might, depending on how you write and what you write. But that's, at least it's a, the big thing is laptops are $400, $500, $600, $1,000, $2,000.
And the usual.
Chromebooks are $250.
So the Chromebook, this is a Google product equivalent to the iPad?
No, it's equivalent kind of, well, in terms of form, it's equivalent to something like a netbook or a Chrome, MacBook Air or something like that, just in terms of the fact that it's a clamshell laptop.
Oh, I see. Okay.
But it's very light. Very light. Full keyboard, good screen, USB connectivity, blah, 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 blah. But everything you do is stored in the cloud. So if you're doing your research, of course, that's on the web to begin with. Email would be on the web. The documents that you write would be stored on the web. That's both good in that everything gets backed up for you. You don't have to worry about losing things. You can certainly download them if you want to, but you don't have to. And it's bad in that if you go somewhere that doesn't have internet, you have to plan ahead. Say you're writing on your novel, right? You say, all right, I want to make this available offline, and it will be downloaded to your Chromebook, so when you are offline, you can keep writing. And then when you go back online, it'll be loaded back up again. It's a thought. I'm not saying you should jump to that because it is. People need to understand what it is and how it works. But you should go look at them because the reality is that for $250, if you're one of those 80 percenters, it'll do what you want to do.
Okay.
And most of the time, laptops are they're sort of broken down into a range of categories. And the problem is every vendor has 20 or 30 different models themselves. So Dell's got 30 different models. HP has 30 different models. It's very annoying.
Oh, it's overwhelming.
Yeah.
I mean, I loved my Sony Vaio. I loved it. A friend gave it to me. He knew someone who was refurbishing them. So I don't know what year it was when I got it, but I had it for 8 years. I have a woman that, you know, she cleans it up periodically. I stayed on top of it.
Yeah.
But she did tell me, is this true that Windows XP won't be serviced anymore?
No, Windows XP is done.
It's done.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Marcia, we have to take a break.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Thanks. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 39 minutes after the hour. We are the longest-running computer show in the known universe. We're Soundbites, right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1. Turn your radio down. 2. Turn your radio down lower. 3. Remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4. Make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5. Calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6. If you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7. Is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 44 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. And before we go back to the phones, I would like to pass on this note from Theosis on the IRC chat. If you're interested in learning to use their computers more effectively with general purpose languages, the Python, the Rochester Python user group, we've talked about this, but it's at rockpy.org, ROCPY.org. There's also links in meetup.com. I've talked about this before. We used to actually learn to use our computers. Everybody
really?
Had BASIC on their computer, and people would learn to program little things just to do that. And we don't do that anymore. We never do that. So having a language like Python or whatever – is a good thing. So if you get a chance, check it out, rocpy.org. All right, back to
I was also gonna finish a thought I had on Marsha on the laptops. Thought. Yeah. A lot of laptops.
That's a first.
The price range between them is almost ridiculous. We were talking about the $250 Chromebook. I just spec'd out a Dell for $6,000.
Yeah.
But just by maxing everything out. three 500 gig SATA drives. But typically, you can have it light, or you can have it fast, or you can have it cheap. And pick two. If you want it cheap, it's not going to be very fast, or it may not be very light, because it's using older heavier construction methods.
Right. I will say I have a ThinkPad.
Yeah.
That you cannot kill with a tank. But it weighs, I think, 250 pounds.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a huge laptop, and it's huge. It's very well built and all of that, but still. All right. Our next caller, Rich, from Irondequoit, New York. Welcome, Rich. What's your question?
First of all, did you just say rocpy.com, roc.py, or what? What was that?
rocpy.com.org.
Org, okay. Here's my question, actually. I have Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
And it comes through the router upstairs to my laptop on the first floor, laptop connected HDMI to the big screen, works fine.
Yep.
When I'm upstairs in bed and I have my laptop, my tablet. I'm in bed, I have my tablet connected to the big screen HDMI. It will not play Amazon videos on that laptop. And with some investigation, I have realized it could be because the laptop does not have Adobe Flash Player in it. Is that a possibility?
Certainly is. I don't have Amazon Prime, so I don't know specifically that it uses Flash, but does it play other things?
Yes.
Okay, so the likelihood is that, yes, it's because it doesn't have Adobe's Flash Player.
Okay, can I put it in there by maybe taking it from the bigger laptop on the first floor, putting it into a thumb drive, and then installing it on the tablet? Or how do I get a Flash Player onto a tablet?
It's a tablet. What OS is the tablet running?
Operating system. It's an Android. Does that help?
It helps us. It does not help you.
Right.
Adobe has stopped creating Flash for tablets.
Oh, okay.
Basically, what you need to do is download the Amazon app for your tablet, and that should work.
Okay. I'll call Amazon and have them download me whatever app they suggest.
No, you have to download it yourself. You have to go to the Android Marketplace and download the Amazon app. I'm trying to find a direct link to it. So on your tablet, you go to the Android Marketplace.
The Play Store.
The Play Store, now they call it.
Yeah.
But if I don't want to play, I want a business app.
Play as in play, pause, record.
Okay.
Yeah, I got it. Android Play Store, and then what do I type in?
And this is right on the tablet. You do this all right on the tablet.
Yes, I understand.
And search for Amazon Prime.
Player, I guess I would type in.
Search for Amazon, period, and you'll find all the different Amazon properties. You'll probably find the book reader. You should find the video player. You'll find the music player. So all of the different Amazon apps.
I shall try that. Thank you.
Yep.
There you go.
And that's probably the second reason that Adobe has discontinued Flash is that everyone's writing their own apps. The major problem with Flash on tablets is it's very, very processor hungry and very power hungry. So it just kills the battery and it runs very slowly on your tablet. Apple never wrote or had Adobe write Flash for the iPad because of those issues. And then the Flash for Android tablets pretty much died and petered out because it was so slow and killed your battery so much.
Right. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Don from Hilton, New York. Welcome, Don.
Hi. You've been talking about Chromebooks and that, and you suggested for the lady for possibly writing, but does a Chromebook have a USB output so you can hook a printer to it?
It's actually got two USB 3s and a USB. Well, it depends on the model you get.
Oh, I see. But
the model I have has three.
Mm-hmm.
How does it do?
I just was wondering because I had a like a tablet. Mine didn't have any outputs. So
right, but you have to pick the right printer.
Yeah, you have to have a special printer, just like you need a special printer for your tablet. It has to be a tablet compatible printer.
Okay, well, you wouldn't just use any USB printer then.
Right.
No, but the same is true of any tablet from any manufacturer. They generally recommend that you buy one that's tablet ready, and that means it actually hooks up wirelessly to the network, and then you can print from wherever you are in your house.
Well, I just thought I would ask the question so the lady didn't go out and buy a tablet and find out that she could, you know, she said she likes to write.
Right.
Wouldn't be able to do an output.
Yep.
And of course, it also depends on where she writes for.
Yeah.
Some places, of course, don't have the need for a printed copy. They want a PDF or they want a whatever. So it depends entirely. That's why when people say, you know, what laptop or whatever, I always hesitate because I just you can't immediately give an answer for anything. You know, particularly when it comes to Chromebooks, there are a million circumstances that make them right for me and wrong for somebody else.
Yeah, well, I just thought that was one concern. I didn't want her to not ask the right questions.
Yeah. Well, that's a good idea. Thank you, Don.
For Chrome OS, you want to have a printer that says it's Google Cloud Print ready. And for Apple's iOS, you need one that says it's AirPrint ready. There are also some printers. HP has a line they call ePrint. And basically, your printer gets an email address. And so any document you want, you can email to your printer, and it comes out of the print.
That's interesting. Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah, that's a problem. That's particularly a problem for a multi-OS household.
Yeah.
So I use Android. My wife uses Mac. Do I buy two printers?
Yeah. Most printers these days are supporting all the different tablet wireless.
But you have to be careful.
Yeah, you have to make sure that's on your spec sheet. And if your printer's not more than a couple years old, there might be a firmware update that adds those capabilities to your existing wireless printer.
Yep. All right, our next caller is Joel from Pittsford, New York. Welcome, Joel. What's up?
Yes, hi, guys. During the first hour, you talked about finding medical information on the Internet.
Yep.
And the dangers thereof, and I could not agree more. There is more junk and misinformation and people trying to rip off people by selling bad products on the Internet. But I wanted to share a local site that's put together by a retired medical librarian from Strong.
Ooh.
That has links to well-vetted medical information. It's www.roc.ech.org, and on the left-hand side, you just click on Health Links, and it has a bunch of links to well-vetted sites that she recommends for finding medical information. But I would also agree with you that anything that you find on the Internet is no substitute for seeing a doctor.
Yeah, that's just silly. It's not like I'm going to go to my mechanic and say, would you check this problem I have with my leg? It's the same idea. You don't know who those people are behind that site. Now, let me say this in praise of librarians. I've been a fan of librarians my entire life. They know more about everything than everybody else put together. And when a librarian tells me I vetted this site, I tend to believe it.
Yeah, absolutely.
But and the funny thing is, even with legitimate, you know, vetted websites, if you put in vague symptoms, oh my God, I've got you know dengue fever.
You're right. I have a headache and a sore throat, and my vision is a little blurry when I take off my glasses. Well, yes, you've either got the bubonic plague or a cold.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the web can be a good starting place for finding the questions that you want to ask your doctor.
Absolutely.
Yep. Thanks a lot,
Joel.
Okay,
that's it. Thank you, guys.
All right, thank you, Joel. We appreciate it. And Joel is absolutely right. We need to be very careful where we get our medical advice. My friend told me, I don't care. I just don't care. I just, you know, it's a, or I found on the Internet. No, I don't care.
Yep.
I simply don't care.
Yeah, Joel's one of the organizers of the Learning Center, Tech Age at the Learning Center at the JCC, and they have a lot of really nice free seminars on computers and information.
Yeah, there's lots of nifty stuff that you can get these days online. All right, that music tells me you've wasted another 2 hours of your life watching and listening and seeing and playing around with this show, and we want to thank everybody who called in, and for those of you who did not get in, call in earlier next time, please. And I want to thank everybody on the IRC chat and everybody, all of that stuff. And please help me out. Check out our website at soundbites.org and sign up for the reminders. I want to see how well that works and all of that stuff. So please grab the links. You'll never miss another show. It's a great idea. And it's very quick and easy. For Dave Enright, Steve Ray, I'm Nick Francesco. The greatest German music you will hear all week is coming right up. We are Soundbites right here on the truly great, member-supported Jazz 90.1.